Okay. So, hi, I'm Dove, and I'm just here to share a thought with you. Starting in beautiful Bnei Yisachar, so the other day. Bnei Yisachar writes, the Bach says in the tour, the Bach says in Hilchos Sukkah that the kavana sitting in a sukkah is different than the kavana of other mitzvahs because by most mitzvahs it doesn't say a kavana. A ta'am is usually excuse me, a ta'am, a reason, a taste, literally, but a ta'am is a taste. It means a reason in modern Hebrew, at least. Ma ta'am, what's the reason for what you did? A reason is usually not written by mitzvahs. Even by some mitzvahs where a reason is written, the reason isn't a kavana reason. It's just a general reason, like, I'm not commanding you this because I'm just a crazy God who wants you to do whatever, just kind of arbitrarily, but rather, I want you to be kadoshim, I want you to be good people, I want you to da da da, I want you to remember da 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 da. But there are some mitzvahs where he says the specific kavana that I'm giving you this mitzvah for so that X, Y, so that you will do X, Y, and Z, or so that you will know X, Y, and Z. So certainly in the cases where it says so that you will be aware of X, Y, and Z, the Bach, and this is the halacha that it requires us to have in mind when we do the mitzvah. Have in mind is yeshivish, whatever, for intent. Our actual intention when doing the mitzvah has to be for that purpose. So, for example, he brings the tour, the Bach on the tour, the famous piece is says, "Sit in sukkahs." Why? Laman ye didar sechem ki basukkahs hashavti es bnei Yisrael ba'atiyos ha'meretz Mitzrayim. That when I took you out of Mitzrayim, I put you in sukkos, in huts. So Rabbi Akiva holds that means huts, and this other Tana, whoever it is, Rabbi Shmuel, I don't know, says that, I'm not sure, says that it means Anani HaKavod. Fine. So the Bach mentions that you have to have in mind, if you want to do the mitzvah properly, then the proper way to do the mitzvah is to have in your mind, as you're sitting in the sukkah at some point, that the sukkah represents the Anani HaKavod that Hashem surrounded us with when he took us out of Mitzrayim. It also represents, even though I just built it yesterday, it also represents the sukkos, the wooden or other stone or whatever it was, buildings that Hashem built around us that kept us safe in the Midbar. Now, when Hashem put us in sukkos, Hashem gave us these sukkos, were they gidulei karka on top? Was it kosher schach? Not necessarily. I don't know. It was before Matan Torah. I don't know. So, it doesn't say when he gave us these sukkos. He didn't give these sukkos to us on Sukkos. So he gave it them to us when we went out of Mitzrayim. At what point exactly? It doesn't exactly say. So whatever it was, that's the requirement to have in mind whatever these sukkos are, Anani HaKavod or physical buildings very similar to these probably that we have. Even though it didn't happen on sukkos necessarily, it happened, whenever it was. Perhaps it was during the time between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah, right now during Sefirah, which the 8 days of Sukkot represents, the 7 weeks of Sefirah. Anyhow, And then the eighth day represents Shmini Atzeres, which is Shavuos. That's the Atzeres to Yelachem. That's Shavuos is the Atzeres, which is Shmini Atzeres. It's connected to Shmini Atzeres. So you count 7 weeks until you're Mekabel the Torah. In the same way, the Yidden were taken out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem put them in Sukkos, and at the end of 7 weeks, they got the Torah, and that's Shmini Atzeres. That's why we call Shmini Atzeres and Sukkos Simchas Torah, because it's the same holiday as Shavuos, just in a different angle. So so anyhow, that's all because Tishrei and Nisan are the same month, just folded in half, one superimposed on the other. Tishrei and Nisan represent the same month, the same time period, just two different aspects of it. You know, Tishrei Nivra Olam, and Benisan Nivra Olam, Machlokas in the Gemara. Tosa says it's really not a Machlokas. One saying that the Iker Bria was B'machshava, and one says the Iker Bria was the Maisa, and that's Tishrei and Nisan. So anyhow, all the holidays are, you know, that's why we learn, by the way, just to end amid this topic, that's why we do Tesvav, Tesvav. That's why there's a drasha, Tesvav, Tesvav. This is Ba'erev Tochlu Matzos in the Torah, that on the night of the 15th of Nisan, you eat a Kezias Matzah. We eat five, but at least, but anyway, so Be'erev Tochlu Matzah, you have to have a Kezias Matzah on the night of the 15th. That's why, even if it's raining, you need to go out into your sukkah on the night of the 15th, make kiddush, and have a kezias of bread on the 15th of Tishrei in your sukkah. Doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah, but erev tochal b'sukkah. Doesn't make any difference in sukkahs between the first night, the second night, the third night. There's no pasuk anywhere in the Torah that says anything about the nights of sukkahs being any different from one another. But Pesach, in Pesach it says, Ba'erev Toch L'matzos, that on the 15th, that night is different than all the other nights. Manash Tana Halayla Zeh, Mikol HaLaylos. On this night, we have to eat matzah. And on all other nights, even of Pesach, we don't have to eat matzah. So why? Because it says Ba'erev Toch L'matzos. So the Gemara says there's a drasha, Tesvav, Tesvav, that the Tesvav of Nisan, we have to have a Kezias no matter what. So also on the Tesvav of Tishrei, we have to have a Kezias in the Sukkah no matter what. It's not just a coincidence, a Gezerah Shava, Tesvav, Tesvav, but rather it's because Sukkot and Pesach are really the same holiday. They're just two aspects of it, of the same time period. One is Machshava, one is Maisa. Therefore, on Sukkot, we have to have the same things that you do on Pesach. Just like there, you have to have a Kezias. Here, you have to eat a Kezias in the Sukkot no matter what. So okay, enough. So you have to have Kavana for the Anani HaKavod. So and not just for the Anani HaKavod, but for these booths that Hashem made for us somehow and gave us at some point in the desert on our way out of Mitzrayim. Perhaps that's what Sukkos means, the day after, you know, the next morning, the next, you know, 12 hours or so after they left Mitzrayim, they were in a place called Sukkos. Maybe that has something to do with it. So there are people who know the Midrashim about that, I'm sure, among us, who know what happened in Sukkos and what the Shaykhus is to Sukkos. The Bach mentions that this is required to have the mitzvah, the kavana, because it says, Laman yedu derasechem, that Hashem said, not just sit in Sukkos, but he said, sit in Sukkos, live in your Sukkos, because you should know, Laman yedu derasechem, that your generation should know that I put you in Sukkos. So, okay, so that's what you have to have in mind. So since the Torah gives a reason, you have to have it in mind. So the Bnei Yisrael asks, it says, the Bnei Sosker asks, it says, The Bnei Yisrael asks, it says eat, it says, Shmartem es ha-matzos, watch the matzos, guard the matzos very carefully. Why? Because ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, because the etzem hayom hazeh at noon or the middle of this day, the etzem hayom hazeh, meaning usually it means at noon when the sun is at the fullest. Hey, there's a little background noise. Whoever just came on, if you hit star 6, it'll mute your phone. So thank you. Ushmartem es ha-matzos, watch, guard the matzos carefully, ki hotzeisi es tzivoseichem me'eretz Mitzrayim, because be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this day, I took you out of Mitzrayim. Okay? Took you out of Mitzrayim. So Bnei Sasra asks, we know that when the Torah gives a reason for a mitzvah, there's a requirement, absolute requirement, to have that specific kavana, not just a kavana that I'm doing the mitzvah that Hashem said for me to do. No. It means more. Of course, I have to have in mind, most Rishonim, Paskin, I think, that the mitzvah is Tzrichas Kavana, at least according to Derech Pikudecha. So you have to have in mind that I'm doing a mitzvah, I'm doing this act because God commands me to. God wants me to. It's God's will. And I'm surrendering myself to God's will by doing this act. However, here it gives a reason. Just like Laman Yedu Dorasechem, here it says, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, guard the matzos carefully, ki hotzeisias sivasechem, because I took out your, or ani hotzeis, or whatever the lesson is there, I took out your hosts, Ne'eretz Mitzrayim, but etzem hayom hazeh, at this, in the middle of this day, you know, I took you out. So, on this very day. So, what is that telling us? The Bnei Yisrael asks, what's the actual kavana that the Torah is asking us, requiring us to have over here, when we are doing the mitzvah of guarding the matzos. Guard the matzos, not just because it's a mitzvah, because I say so, because I took you out of Mitzrayim. We're supposed to have a kavana that we're guarding these matzos because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. What does that exactly mean, he asks. Okay, I know you took us out of Mitzrayim, so, you know, but what does that mean? It seems to be saying something more than just, remember, when you guard the matzos, that's, you know, a Yetzias Mitzrayim occurred. You know, it seems to be saying more than just that. So Bnei Yisrael perhaps asked the question a little sharper, isn't it? Perhaps Bnei Yisrael asked the question a little sharper. But what exactly is the what exactly is the Bnei Yisrael saying? What exactly is Hashem saying when we guard the matzos? We need to remember that He took us out of Mitzrayim. What is the kavana? What is the intention behind that kavana there? So Bnei Sasker answers a very beautiful thing. He says, hang on just one second. Excuse me. He says that what is guarding the matzos? What does that mean, guarding the matzos? What exactly is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Ushmartem et ha-matzos? So we know that there's a mitzvah to have matzah shemura. Matzah shemura means matzah that was watched. We do a tremendous chumrah and we watch it mishas ketzira. But what is the actual mitzvah of Ushmartem et ha-matzos? It's done when you're actually making the matzos. You actually have in mind that you're making matzahs now, and you're going to watch carefully during the process of making the matzahs that they do not become chametz. That's the mitzvah of Ushmartem et ha-matzos. How do you guard the matzahs so that they don't become chametz? The Bnei Sasha says, this is what the halacha is, that you pour the flour in, the water in, and you start to time it. You start to knead it, K-N-E-A-D. You start to knead the matzahs, and you squash them, and you mush them, and you struggle with them. If you go to make matzahs, there's a high pressure there. It's like, hurry up, you know, let's go, you know, move it. So what are you trying to do? You're trying to knead the matzahs quickly and struggle with them. By the way, the word matzah, if anybody here knows actual like Hebrew, like I mean, not you know, we don't use it too much in Torah Hebrew, but and in, not in modern Hebrew either. But if I'm not mistaken, the word matzah means an argument, a fight, a struggle. You know, matzah. It says Moshe Rabbeinu came upon Shnei Anashim Mitzim, two men who were fighting, Dathan and Aviram. You know. Masa Umaruga, I think it's spelled Mem Samachay, I think. Masa with an ayin would mean a trip, but Masa with a hay is the same word as Masa. You know, it's Samach and Sadi switch sometimes. So it means a fight. Shnei Anashim Nusim means fighting men. Matzah is the actual shorish. It's the actual word. But the actual word means a fight. Matzah, a fight. So the word matzah means the food we eat means to struggle. What's the struggle? The struggle is that ishmartim et hamatzah, that when you pour the flour and water together, you make sure to knead it constantly, so that it shouldn't be at rest. Because if it's at rest, what will happen is it will start to contribute something of its own. It won't do anything bad. It will just start to contribute something of its own. And we do not want the matzah at this time to contribute anything of its own. We want the matzah to be completely passive, that it's something that we do something to it. It does not do anything of its own. And that is what the mitzvah of Ushmartem es hamatzah means. If you leave the matzah alone and you don't constantly knead it, then the Gemara says it starts to swell, its face becomes white, and it starts to get sedakim, cracks, on the face of the matzah. So once it starts to get cracks that are like the antennas of a grasshopper, et cetera, whatever, then, you know, it becomes pusle, it's hummus, and you can't use it for matzah anymore. It is not, does not reflect the matzah that Hashem wants us to use. It's not shmura. It's not matzah shmura. It's not the matzah that the mitzvah of Ushmartem as a matzah was done on, and therefore it is pusle for Ba'erev Tochu matzah. That has to be shmura matzah. It has to be matzah that you did Ushmartem as a matzah on that. That constantly was needed, so that the matzah didn't start to wake up on its own and do its own thing. It starts to contribute its own contribution to the mixture. Normally, dough is kneaded, and then you leave it alone. You lay a towel over it, you know, and you let it rise, you know. And it rises and rises and rises, and then when it's risen to the right size, you bake it. And then you get a beautiful loaf of bread. But here, even without adding yeast, it will rise to some degree, and then you're going to get risen matzah. We don't want that to happen. So we say, the Torah says, Ushmartem es hamatzah. The Neis Esther says so beautifully here that it's in a section called the Erev Tochal, I think, in the Neis Esther, right near the end of near the end of Nisan. And he says that if you don't watch the matzah and you don't need it, you won't do the mitzvah of shmirah properly, and the matzah and the dough will start to contribute something of its own, and that's not what Hashem wants. What does it say? Ki ani hotzei tzivosekem, or hotzei, whatever, because Hashem says, I took you out Because I took you out of Mitzrayim. Therefore, I don't want the matzah to contribute anything of its own. B'nai Sester explains, we didn't deserve to go out. It was chesed. It wasn't something that we did in order to go out. Even though there's many, many gemaras that talk about, midrashim that talk about because of this, because of that, the demaya chayi, that was really just our survival. That wasn't yitzis Mitzrayim. You know, we were going to die in Makkos Bechoros if we didn't do Pesach and Mila. It wasn't yitzis Mitzrayim that we were, you know, got from that. But, you know, B'zchus Nashim Tzidkaniyos, you know, okay, Shlosh Tzvarim, Leishinu Shlom, Lishonim, and Ma'adushim, all those things are really just Heksherim, that without those things, we couldn't have gone out, because had we been taken out, it would have been ruined anyway, so he would have had no one to take out. But Lamaisha, if Yitzhak Mitzrayim was a maksav of complete Isarusha de la Ela, it was complete chesed, love, which is, that's why Pesach is the holiday of Abraham. You know, Yitzhak is Matan Torah, and Yaakov is Sukkot, is when he passed away on Sukkot. But anyway, the Yom Tovim of Pesach, we see Abraham Avinu had Ugos, you know, it was Pesach time when the Malachim came to visit him. You see, he kept that, not just that he kept it, but the Torah mentions Taka that he kept it, Chazal. So there's a Shaychus there brought, the first place in the Torah where it's mentioned is really Shaykh by Abraham and Lot, you know, at that time. But the point here is that if the matzahs do anything of their own accord, they're pasul for the mitzvah of achilas matzah. Why? Because be'etzem hayom hazeh, I took you out of Mitzrayim. You didn't do anything. You didn't take yourself out of Mitzrayim. I took you out. Remember that. You contributed basically nothing. You just showed up. I took you out. You take no credit for it. If you start to take credit for Yetzias Mitzrayim, then you lost the whole lesson over here. The whole lesson over here is, I took you out, not because of who you are, but because of who I am. I am your father. So I took you out. You're Bnei Bechori. I took you out because of me, not because you deserved it. And if you remember that, when you watch the matzahs to make sure that they don't, the shmartim at the matzahs, you need the dough so that it doesn't rise and it doesn't contribute anything of its own, then you're going to have the matzah that you can be yotzei the mitzvah with. And that's the idea of Pesach that so many addicts like me can relate to. Because if God ever does a chesed for me, I can't possibly deserve it. I can't deserve it. Because, you know, the Gemara says famously, if someone does a favor for you, so then you need to pay him back, you know, that's the right thing to do, to do a favor in turn, you know, of your own volition. But you have to do him two favors. Because if you do him one favor back, then that's not chesed. You're not doing an act of chesed, you're doing an act of din. You're paying him the money you owe him or something. That's not a chesed. He did you a chesed. You need to give him back something like he gave you, but do it double. Do it in a chesed way, like he did it to you. So this is simple. Chesed cannot be deserved. If chesed is deserved, then it's not chesed. And that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim had to happen to a people who sucked. We were at the 49th level of Tuma when Hashem took us. Over there in Yechezkel, it's not talking about Dan Pesach and Dan Mila, it's the Drasha. Pashat Pshat is that means you were disgusting. At Eirom, the area, isn't just you didn't have mitzvahs. That's the drasha, the pashat pshat in that Nevuah in your sense still is, you had nothing, nothing, nothing. You were on the 49th level of Tumah, you were disgusting. And guess what? I picked you up. I washed you off. I anointed you. I put clothes on you. I took care of you. I raised you. And I brought you out of Mitzrayim because I love you so much, not because you deserved it. It wasn't because it was a curse, so blah, 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 blah. No. Chesed. Chesed. And that means, it's a Yusuf de la Ela, that means we don't contribute to it. If you contribute to it, then that ruins the chesed. If you contribute, that ruins the chesed. This is what the Chazal mean, by the way, when they say that Aaron, it says, Vayas Aaron, Kashetiv Hashem, Kenasa. You know, Kenasa Aaron. What is it? Rashi always comments there. What does it have to say? That Aaron did it, Hashem commanded, you know, Kenasa Aaron or something. I can't remember the exact words right now. But Vayas Ken Aaron or something. So what does it have to say that for? He says, Shaloshina, Melamed Shaloshina. What does that mean? So there's many drushes on that. Except over here, the point would be here, very simple. Aaron had a choice. He can do the mitzvah, as Hashem said it, without contributing anything of his own. Or he can do the mitzvah contributing something of his own, make up his own niggun while he does it, and this and that and whatever it is. You know, but no, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. He didn't contribute of his own. He was a pipe, an empty pipe. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu get the nevuahs that he got? Because he was Anav Mikol Adam. It wasn't a coincidence. He didn't become an Anav Mikol Adam because he got all these nevuahs. It's the opposite. He got all these nevuahs. He was an Aspaklaria HaMe'ira. Me'ira means clear, that the light goes right through, and you can see it on the other side clearly. That's Me'ira. It doesn't mean that it gave light of its own. Aspaklaria Me'ira means a completely clear piece of glass, which was very, very rare in those days. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu an Aspaklaria HaMe'ira? Because he didn't contribute anything of his own in these, you know, in the Nevuahs and stuff. Therefore, he was empty. He was an Anav Mikol Adam. He was completely surrendered to God. Completely surrendered to God. And therefore, he wasn't going to contribute. So he was the only man who was safe to give the Torah to. Because every other Navi speaks the Signon Acher. What Signon did Moshe Rabbeinu speak? He was a Kavad Peh, Kavad Lashon. He had speech impediments, whatever that means. He didn't have a Signon of his own. He was Batzel to Hashem. He had no contribution. He was the Matzah Shemura. He was just doing Hashem's will. And he didn't take credit for it. He didn't expect anything for it. And that was the end of that. And that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's the idea of the Matzah. And if you look in the Haggadah of the Maharal, that's the Maharal's Kavana in the Korban Pesach. That he talks about very clearly. He brings 8 or 10 things about the Korban Pesach that explain what the inyan is, that it's an inyan of his pashtus of everything you've got and surrender to God, being surrendered. The term surrender is mesiras nefesh. In Hebrew, surrender is mesiras nefesh, handing over of yourself. Im yeshes nafshechem. Is it within your desire, look for it, Macy Milfanai, who's singing these efforts and so far? You know, Imyeshus Nafshecha means, is it with your soul? Is it with yourself? Meaning, do you desire it? Nefesh is the desire, you know? Nefesh Behemso means, do you know the desire of your animal? You know, do you know what your animal needs? You know, Nefesh means desire here. So, sort of like ego, I guess. But anyway, so the nefesh over here is So that's the whole idea is mesiras nefesh means giving over my nefesh, giving my desire over. How do you give your desire over? By being misgaber on a nisayon? That's mesiras nefesh? I don't think so. For a normal person who's not an addict, mesiras nefesh might mean, you know, fighting a desire and being meiser nefesh. In other words, being a martyr, you know, struggling and causing pain, enduring pain, because mesiras nefesh, you know, I'm enduring pain because I have a goal in mind. I have a certain goal in mind. I'm enduring pain because of a certain goal. But that's not the basic kavanah in mesiras nefesh that I'm talking about. The simplest basic mesiras nefesh that I'm talking about is the surrender that every guy does in Alcoholics Anonymous when he does his third step. Every sober guy in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and Sexaholics Anonymous and of course every Jew too does the same surrender. If you're sober, it's because you're surrendering to God, meaning you're giving yourself up to God, not your desire. You know, people sometimes talk about, I give this desire to you, Hashem. I have a taiva to do X, Y, and Z, and I give it to you. That's a Christian idea. The Jewish, we don't talk about that. When we say Moshe Avon, we don't mean that he bears sins on himself. We mean Moshe Avon. If you look, Sana Ba'ad Ha'am, it doesn't mean take, you know, when it says that in the Torah, in every other place, it doesn't mean to bear an iniquity. It means to tolerate. That's what it means. Shah over there means to tolerate. That's what the word means in that context. So Moshe Avon means that he bears, meaning he tolerates our averus. He doesn't take our averus and, you know, do something with them. That's not what it's going on. So we ask him to be patient with us. Patience and love are from the same source. If you love, then you're patient, you know? And you know, realizing that we can surrender our life to God, myself to God, that's the whole point of all recovery in every fellowship where the 12 steps are. The point is mesiras nefesh, handing myself over to Hashem and putting myself in his hands. And what does that have to do with overcoming a taiva? Nothing. Nothing. Now, I know for non-addicts, in the Gardner's Handbook and stuff and other places and people have shared, for non-addicts, absolutely, this is a way to be Meister Nefesh, you do Mesiras Nefesh, da 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 da, and then you can be Amid B'Nisayon and all this other stuff. But that's not recovery. We know we're not Amid B'Nisayon anywhere. Once you're Amid B'Nisayon, you have passed the Masa Shmura. It's no longer Shmura Masa. It's now Masa that has risen on its own to accomplish something of its own, and it deserves to be free of sin. You know, it deserves to be good. It deserves this. It deserves the Yeshua. It deserves whatever it is. You know, but I don't deserve Hashem's salvation. You know, I know who I am. I know the truth about myself. You know, I know it. Lazy day and Mars natural. I know. I'm not going to deserve it. Even when I do mitzvahs, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, you know, it says, Yadchan Asan Arach, but the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ki Lecha Hashem Echesed, Lecha Hashem Echesed, Ki Atam Tishalim Leish Kima Asehu. Hashem, you have, the chesed is all yours. Why? Because you pay a person back for what they do. So the Sfarim ask, what do you mean, Lecha Hashem Echesed, because you give skar for mitzvahs? It's not chesed, it's din, you know? So what does that mean? Lecha Hashem Echesed, Ki Yatav Shalom Leish Kima Aseyo. You have chesed because you pay a skar for our mitzvahs. The Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says, V'chi, you know, did any of you do a mitzvah of tzitzis and I didn't give you a beged to put it on? Did any of you do a mitzvah of mezuzah and I didn't give you a house with a door to fix your mezuzah onto? You know? I deserve the schar because you didn't do that mitzvah. You didn't do that. You accomplished this and that. You didn't accomplish it. I gave you all the wherewithal and the mitzvah in the Torah to do it, and the understanding of how to do it. I gave you everything. How much did you do already? What do you deserve schar for already? So what is that, taking away schar from people? No. The Gemara doesn't know that. It doesn't know about schar v'onesh. No, it's not saying that. Avad is a schar v'onesh. What is it saying? It's saying that, to me, as an addict, it's saying that this isn't about schar. It's not about scar. This is about surrender to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Whether I'm faced with a mitzvah lo saaseh, whether I'm faced with a mitzvah saaseh, it doesn't matter. It's all about surrender to the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's not about me accomplishing something. It's about me surrendering to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, and doing His will. Why? Because I surrender to Him. So I do His will. I surrender to Him, you know. And the more I surrender, the more total my surrender is, the better I'll succeed at doing His will, for sure. He'll help me do His will right. You know? He'll help me live His will. What does His will mean? Much more than Torah and Mitzvahs. His will means living the life that He has given me. In terms of Torah and Mitzvahs, as well as in everything else. That's living His will. That's doing His will. The Iker will of Hashem is done in Divrei Rishos, not in Divrei Mitzvah. If you count up how many interactions you have with Hashem on a daily basis, how many interactions Hashem has with you that are in Yanei Mitzvah, of a choice of a Mitzvah or an Avera, of Avera or no, or a Mitzvah or yeah, no. You know, count out, you know, 200-300 a day, maybe 500 a day the most, you know. But when you look at the Hashgacha Pratis that Hashem is doing for you, how fat are you? Do you have control over how fat you are today? Today. Can you lose 50 pounds today? No. No. It's Hashem's will that you are what you are today. That's Hashem's will for you. Are you surrendering yourself to Hashem's will for you today? How's a person going to, let's say I have to lose 20 pounds. Okay, my doctor says I'm 20 pounds overweight, I have to lose 20 pounds. You know, how do I do that without accepting Hashem's will first? You can't succeed at losing 20 pounds if you're fighting the fact that you're fat. That's why AA begins with, we admitted we were alcoholics and that our lives had become unmanageable by us. You know, we admitted that we're abnormal. We admitted that we have a disease, a mental problem, and other problems too. That's why Alcoholics believes it's an admission, it's acceptance. This is the fact. I'm an alcoholic. It's God's will, for some bizarre reason that I can't understand. It's God's will that I admit the facts of who I am today and that this is who I am. Now, what do I do? Nobody gets a cancer diagnosis and then says, oh, I surrender. I give up. That's crazy. You get a cancer, God forbid, you get a diagnosis of a terrible disease. What do? The first thing on your mind, of course, is how am I going to beat this? What am I going to do? How do I get cured? What do I do? What do I do about it? You know? So surrendering to the facts is just the beginning. It's the only beginning to living in the solution. So people say, you know, oh, these people talk about I surrender to the Yetzer Hara. What kind of business is that? Then I'll do the Aveira. What do you mean? I give up in order to win. What do you mean, give up? If I give up, chas v'shalom, you're not allowed to give up. Nimsa adam, you know, in the center of a milchama chazak, panim v'ochar, Mishael Zisharim says, how can you give up? No. We're not talking about giving up to the Yetzer Hara. We're talking about giving up my will and putting myself in God's hands. That doesn't mean, again, that I'm a lemela and, you know, well, maybe I am in some way, but but how about you? You know, how good are you doing? So, you know, why are you on the call? So anyhow, the point here is that I'm surrendering myself into God's hands, because when I try to arrange my life right, I end up acting out. When I try to be a Yid, a good Yid, a good father, a good husband, my own way, I end up acting out, because I cannot be a good husband, a good father, a good Yid. If you're a frumi Yid who's masturbating, if you're a frumi Yid who's using porn and this and that habitually, why are you a frumi Yid? How are you frum? You're not frum at all, maybe, huh? Are you frum at all? What are you doing? You know, do all these avarice. Well, no. You know you're a frumi Yid. So then why are you doing all these things? Well, I'll tell you why. You're doing all these things because you're trying to be a Yid your way. You're the one who's doing it. You're the one who's accomplishing it. If you're an addict, then that's what you're doing. If you're a non-addict and you're just failing at doing the mitzvahs, then you need to do tshuva. You need to speak to a rav who's going to help you do tshuva. You know, you need to open up to a rav and get help doing tshuva. That's what you need to do. You don't need to surrender, shmerender, or anything. You need to learn how to do tshuva properly, 100%. But if you're an addict, so then all the tshuva in the world is not going to save you. Calling a tshuva gemura doesn't make a tshuva gemura. It's a fantasy for you. What you need is you need to get the help that you need to surrender and put yourself into God's hands and, you know, to give up and put yourself into God's hands in a way that the alcoholics have done, and that's why they don't have to drink. You know, I don't have to act out today only because I'm surrendering myself into God's hands, not because I'm giving him my desires, you know. That's a completely different language. So anyhow, the surrender that I'm talking about is something that every addict can, who's sober, can understand. We know we can't do it ourselves. This isn't the Omali Azro and a Yachalo. That's not what this means. That's not what this means. This is surrender. And if you're surrendering, then you're not doing it on your own. If you're not doing it on your own, you're Matzah Shemura. You're a matzah that was guarded so that it didn't start to contribute anything of its own. And now you're clean. You're going to be okay. That's the way that it works. So we're asking him to, we're asking him to make us Matzah Shemura, you know, to give us the ability to be clean today. Why? Not because we need to fight the Yetzer Hara and it's against his will to do these averus and all this other stuff. That's really not even relevant over here. Because the issue if you're an addict is no longer sinning. The issue if you're an addict is that you're living a fake life. You're a fake Jew. You're a fake human being. That's the issue. So the surrender is, God, help me be a real human being today. Help me be a real human being today. Help me, and part of me being a human being, because I'm a Jew, is being a Jew. Being a Fermiyid. Help me be a Fermiyid today. I want to put myself into your hands. I want to let you, I want to stop contributing on my own. You know, this isn't me. It's not me. It's you. It's not going to be through me. I'm going to be the closest I can to an Aspaklaria Hameira. I want to be a clear pipe, a clear glass for you to shine through and for your will to be done through me. And I accept. And in order to do that, I can't do that if I don't accept your will for me, if I don't accept what you, you know, what you're doing, you know, for me today. And that means everything about my life, who I am, how I look, where I am, my wife, my parents, my children, my people, my job, everything. It's all yours. It's all yours. I realize that my whole life is in your hands completely. And that there is no me over here. There's no me here. It's not me. It's not, I'm like the matzah. I'm the shemura matzah. I'm not contributing to this. That's the reality. The reality is you're the one who's doing everything. I'm the actor on the stage, and you're directing me. And you're going to direct me, and you always have directed me. You know, I unfortunately took the direction that you're giving me, and I used it to do things that were bad for me, you know, and I twisted your direction in the direction that I wanted because I was running my own life. I was focused on running my own life, but now I want to be your life. I want to do your life. I want to live your life. I want to live the life you're giving me right now. That's the life I want to lead, you know? And I'm surrendering my life to you. And that takes honesty. Because that can't be done with words. That has to be done honestly, or it's not just that it's just words, it's that it means nothing. Meaningless. So it has to be done honestly. And that's what the third step is. That's what the third step is. And that's why the third step is about freedom. And that's why I'm talking about at Pesach time. Because the third step is really about that one thing, freedom. freedom. If I'm living his will, I'm going to be free. If I'm living his will, you know, and living his will does not mean keeping his mitzvahs. It's much, much more than keeping his mitzvahs. Because like I said, if you count up the interactions that Hashem has with you, his guidance, his will is being expressed in your life in hundreds of thousands of ways over the course of your day. The person in the car in front of you who stopped short and you hit, God forbid, it's God's will. What mood was this guy in this morning? Why did he do that? The fact that he couldn't sleep last night led him to do that. Why did he not sleep last night? Because he had a stomach virus or because his baby was crying. All God's will, God's manipulation in order to make a certain thing happen, you know, or the fact that he didn't get into an accident with you, God forbid, you know, that Baruch Hashem, he didn't get into an accident with you. Why? Because Hashem allowed his baby to sleep through the night or took away his stomach virus so that he could sleep through the night, and therefore 99.999 people on the road are actually safe for you to be driving around. That's Hashem's will expressed through his interactions with thousands of people who you will sort of come in contact with, hopefully not physically, because you don't want their cars to touch yours. But, you know, your boss, what side of the bed he or she wakes up on in the morning, and how she, he or she treats you today. You know, your coworkers, your customers, clients, patients, talmidim, you know, they're, you know, or if you don't have a job, the people who might hire you, what mood are they going to be in? What did they see today that might lead them to hire you as opposed to somebody else, or hire somebody else instead of you? It's Hashem's will too. All this stuff is Hashem's will being expressed in hundreds of thousands of little interactions and control adjustments that he makes through the day. Like I said before, how fat are you? How skinny are you? How tall are you? How short are you? What do you look like? How big is your ears, your eyes, your nose, your head? All these little factors are things that Hashem controls in order to give you the day today that he wants you to have. You, for example, with the weight thing, you may indeed, it may be Hashem's will that you lose a ton of weight. But guess what? Right now, you can't. So you have to understand that it's Hashem's will that I am exactly who I am. Right now, does that mean that it's fine for me to be 20 pounds underweight and the doctors say you need to gain a lot of weight because you're ill, you're not eating enough, you're anorexic, you have to gain 50 pounds? So, yeah, but right now, who I am right now is Hashem's will. I need to accept that. If I do, then I'll be able to do the things that are proper for a person who's underweight. Because I'll accept the fact that I'm an underweight person and what that means. Not that I'll accept the fact that I'm an underweight person, and who the hell cares? That's not accepting Hashem's will. Accepting Hashem's will doesn't mean who the hell cares. Accepting Hashem's will means accepting the facts. Surrender to the truth is the main surrender of all surrenders. The real surrender is surrendering to the truth, acceptance of the truth. If you look in the AA Big Book, there's a story in the back, acceptance is the answer, or acceptance is the key. That's a great story to read. I highly recommend reading the stories in the back of the AA Big Book for anybody, certainly for addicts, certainly for people who think they might be addicts. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous stuff. If you just slowly enjoy it and read it, to be honest. So anyhow, just to wrap it up. So, if I'm powerless, powerlessness means accepting Hashem's will for me. That I'm Masa Shemura. That I'm being Shmartim Es HaMatzis, like the Bnei Yisrael was explaining. I don't allow the matzah to rest so that it can do its own will and start to rise. I let the matzah express the state of Klal Yisrael and the Yetzias Mitzrayim that Hashem did. Hashem did the Yetzias Mitzrayim without any contributions from us in the Yetzia. So in the same way, the matzah is nishmar, from contributing, from starting to rise. It's exactly as it was when it was mixed. It's flat, and it didn't get a chance to express anything of its own, to take any credit, chas v'shalom, for anything. No kochi v'otzem yadi here. Ein di koach. What does that mean? Kochi v'otzem yadi didn't do this. What does that mean? That means I'm powerless. If I don't have kochi v'otzem yadi, that means I'm powerless. That's the powerlessness that Hashem wants us to accept as stam Jews in terms of success in life, monetary, financial success, etc. But in terms of recovery, without this surrender in living and in everything in my day, without that surrender, there's no hope at all for me as an addict. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to be free today. No way. And the fact is, just to finish up, the fact is that that's the third step. And my sponsor, Jeff, told me that if the third step, if you did a perfect step three, and you really did turn your will and your life over to the care of God, then you wouldn't need any other steps afterward. Sort of like the way Chazal say, if the Kfar would have kept the Torah mitzvahs, then the Torah would be five books of Moshe and Sefer Yehoshua Kolbad. No Nevi'im. You know? And anyway, the Nevi'im didn't work, because look at where we are. As Chazal say, gave us 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os, and it didn't work. That's what Chazal say. All the Nevi'im didn't work until the Tabas was given from Ahasuerus to Haman. Then it worked. You know, that works. That's hitting bottom. That's what hitting bottom is. And that's a different talk I said of Purim time. But they're all connected, of course. Because if you're an addict, you don't surrender until you have no choice. As long as you have a choice, you can't surrender. As long as you have a choice to do tshuva, and tshuva is a choice, to stop this, I'm going to quit, I'm going to here, I'm going to there. As long as the sentence begins with I'm going to, then forget it. It's not going to work. This is what the author of something, author of Kelim, I think, says. Why does it say Modeh Ani? Why doesn't it say Ani Modeh Lefanecha? He says, because if you begin your day with an Ani, then there's not going to be a Modeh. You know, this is the idea. Surrender is really everything. That's the third step, is the entire program, putting myself in God's hands. And if you think, still, my constant refrain needs to be, if you still associate you as the addict, me as the addict, you as the guard your eyes listener, or whatever, if you still think that doing God's will in the third step means not sinning by masturbating, then you don't understand the third step at all yet. Because that's not the point, because alcohol, or drinking a sip of alcohol, is no sin. Even getting drunk isn't, there's no aveira in the Torah where it says, don't do this, don't do that, don't drink. And yet the 12 steps applies to something that's not a sin. The sin of alcoholism in the 12 steps, the sin is what the Chofetz Chaim said. Chofetz Chaim said, the Torah doesn't say it, but it's like the 11th commandment. Don't be a shaita. A shaita is pater mikolonitsis, right? A true shaita. Don't be a shaita. Don't make yourself pater from all the mitzvahs by being mentally ill. Don't choose insanity. Don't be a shaita, Chofetz Chaim would say. That's like the mitzvah behind all the mitzvahs. Don't be a shaita. That's the mitzvah that's the sin of the alcoholic. That's the sin of the sexaholic. It's not the sperm. That's not the sin. It's not the shmir sinayim. That's not the sin. That's not the sin. The sin is being a fake. When I'm acting out, when I'm living in a way of acting out, when I'm not living soberly, I'm a fake. Doesn't matter if I'm keeping Kol HaTorah Kula, I'm a fake. This is the Novo Bishus HaTorah. He's a fake. That's the problem. It's not a higher Madrega. He's a fake. So, can't be a fake. I mean, you can. But then what about to thine own self be true? Aristotle or Socrates or whoever said that. It's a pretty smart thing to say, you know, because I know himself be true. You know, be honest, be real, you know. God doesn't want me to be real. He wants me to keep the mitzvah. He doesn't want me to be real. What does kavana mean? Kavana means it's real, that I intend to do this, that's real. How about if I intend and I say to L'shem Yichud, but the true reason is because people are watching? And guess what? Hashem knows, and it's not Lishma. It's not. Not real. Hashem is real. There ain't no escape from real. So, anyhow. So, be real. So the third step is all about being real. That's it. There ain't nothing else but real in the third step. And in life, really. So that's what the rest of the steps are for, getting a third step. Step 4, 5, 6, 7. 4, 5, 6, 7 are one unit. 4, 5, 6, 7 is about surrendering my character defects, surrendering my jealousy that I don't have what so-and-so has, surrendering my jealousy that I'm not the way I wish I were. That's jealous. Jealous, you know, depression, you know, being reactively depressed about not having what I want is jealousy with what I should have or what I could have or what I used to have or what I want right now that I don't have. It's jealousy, you know. It's arrogance because I'm assuming that I should have it, even though I don't do anything to get it, you know, or I do lots of things to not get it or to lose it, you know. So, you know, if you want something, you have to stay away from the Dvarim HaMafsidim, and then you have to do the Derech HaKinyan. You have to do both. But no, there are so many things that I can be jealous of, even though I either don't do the things to be kind of it, or I want to still enjoy doing all the things that are that are mafsidim, and I don't want to have a hefsid. I don't want to have to lose. I want to enjoy, but I don't want to have to pay. This is how we go through life. Fourth step, if you do the fourth step right, you'll know what the truth is about those things. And then if you do a fifth, you'll be able to do a sixth. And if you do a sixth, then God will help you do a seventh. And if I do a 4, 5, 6, 7, one character defect at a time, or sometimes in bunches even, they'll be relieved. I'll be relieved of them. You know? And my life will be in God's hand, and I'll be at peace with the life that God's giving me, instead of taking the life that God's giving me and being angry about it. You know, this is the connection between 3 and 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8, 9 and 10. You know, the steps. It's 3 means I put myself completely in God's hands. I surrender the nefesh. I put my mesira of my nefesh, my what I want, my will, I put into God's hands. I put myself into His care. The whole point of the program is to put myself, let God take care of me. Let Him run the show. You know, I follow. You know? That's the whole point. And the surrender, the sira of the nefesh, surrendering myself into His care means that I accept that He's going to do a far better job of caring for me than I ever will, than I ever did, and than I ever will. And as long as I'm jealous and upset, angry, resentful, hurt about not having this, or this having been done to me, or that happening, or this not happening, or the other thing, or this, or that, all that stuff removes me from being in God's care. Consciously removes me, at least in my conscience, of being in God's care. And it says, I could do a better job, damn it. If He would give me this, then things would be fine. And I'm not in God's care anymore. So if I want to have a third step, I need to surrender all my resentments, my pride and arrogance, jealousy, entitlement, anger. You know? Fears, they mess all this up. Kagamalai imo kakramalai nafshi. You know, like a baby laying in his mother's arms. That's how I am with you, God. Right? The baby have any worries? The baby wonder to himself, oh, is there going to be more milk next time? Maybe not. Gewalt, what am I going to do? Baby doesn't think that. Baby just says thank you and moves on, moves right along. Does the next right thing. You know? I'm dependent. You're the leader and I'm the follower. You're running the show. I'm just going through the motions here, putting on the act. I'm on the stage doing your will. And you're working through me. That's the third step. That's the basis of everything in Yiddishkeit, of course. Of course, that's the basis of everything in Yiddishkeit. As long as you see Yiddishkeit is only about the this mitzvah, that mitzvah, this avera, that avera, then you don't understand anything yet. Then you have nothing to do with God's will at all. There's nothing to do with God's will, suddenly. As long as I'm the main actor, you know, I'm the one doing, and it's all about me, then it's not about God. The Sfasema says, Yihisim Kedoshim Lelo Kechem. The Sfasema says, Hashem has no interest in Kedoshim. Hashem has interest in Kedoshim Lelo Kechem. That I'm a Kaddish for you. For God. In other words, that it's God's will that I'm concerned. This is about Him. Everything in my struggle and everything in here and everything in there. This is about Him. It's not about me. It's not about me and my Madrega. It's not about me being good. It's about His will being done through me. That's it. That's it. That's all. It's all about Him all day long. You know? So, anyhow, that's the third step for every addict. And every addict in every fellowship, Jew, Goy, this, that, they if they're sober and they're living these steps, then God's will is being done through them. That's the conscious contact with God, the 11th step, is what all these steps are about. That's the spiritual awakening. That's the freedom from the drug. Guaranteed freedom from my drug is acceptance of God's will for me. It starts with acceptance of God's will for me in step three. The reason I can't run the show is because of steps one and two. Because I suck. I'm on the 49th level of Tumah. You know, I'm no good. Or I'm on the 12th level of Kedusha, but I'm not going to make it. Whatever it is, whatever level I'm on, I don't have to look down on myself. I just have to see the truth. I'm puny. I don't understand God's will. Look at the Torah. It's huge. I don't really know what to do right now. I don't know what the job to have. I don't know. I just suit up and show up to work. Do I know if what I'm doing is right or wrong? Not really. You know? But you live this will out. You do God's will. You play out your part. You do the best you can. And you give the outcomes completely to Him, and you say, I'm powerless. And you're Moser Nefesh. You give your life over into His care instead of into your care. And it's all because of step one and two that proves that I can't do it. And my care doesn't work. When I care and try to arrange my life, I end up using acting out in order to make it okay. The alcoholic uses, you know, alcohol to make it okay, to control things. I manipulate people, etc., you know. Putting myself in God's care means I don't have to manipulate anybody. I don't need you. I don't need my wife. I don't need anybody. You know, it's me and... Hi, good morning. It's me. I'm with God, you know. I'm with Him, you know. He's taking care of me. The Rebbeinu Shlomo knows what to do, you know. And how do I get that? My character defects are all in the way. That's the other side of three. One and two leads me to three. It explains to me why I need God. Religion says you should have them and all that. The program says I need them for me because I'm an addict. If you're not an addict, I don't think you need them, frankly. So anyhow, that's all the steps after three or four. After three, all the steps are for this purpose, enabling me to continue to put myself into his care by getting myself out of his way. That's what the idea of getting out of God's way is. One, you know, getting resentments, jealousies, entitlements, hatreds, angers, fears, all these things are my defects of character. They're mine, and they get in the way of God's will, of me accepting his care. They get in the way of that. And steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are all about one thing and one thing only, getting myself out of his way. And that's going to be the title of this talk, Matzah and Getting Out of God's Way. And thanks for listening. I'm going to hit the stop recording button here. And say bye-bye.